AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, a prediction from the Democratic presidential nominee.
This is going to be a great week.
Kamala Harris made a surprise appearance on the first night of the Democratic National Convention and thanked the man who stepped aside to back her for president. Correspondent Matt Piper is in Chicago.
President Biden had tears in his eyes as the thousands here yelled, "Thank you, Joe," him responding this way.
America, I love you.
The president also mentioned what he and his vice president, Kamala Harris, have done.
We finally beat Big Pharma. And guess who cast the tie-breaking vote? Vice President, soon-to-be President Kamala Harris.
And he said it's time to ban assault weapons again.
CBS's John Dickerson.
He also, at the end, turned and became kind of the grand marshal of the Harris-Walz campaign. Not just saying, oh, and Kamala Harris helped me too, but they will carry this on.
Former President Donald Trump is defending his verbal attacks on Harris. He explained in an exclusive interview with CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns in York, Pennsylvania.
Do you think those personal attacks are necessary for you to win the election?
I hope they're not, but if I don't think somebody's good at something, if somebody's not good at something, I've always spoken my mind.
There were protests near the convention in Chicago. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators were vocal.
We're here to free Palestine. We're here to say stop U.S. aid to Israel. We're here to stop a war and stop a genocide.
Israel says it recovered the bodies of six more hostages overnight. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
The Israeli army said all six men, four of them in their late 70s, had been taken to Gaza alive in October and were killed over the course of the past 10 months.
George Santos, the first member of Congress to be expelled in more than 20 years, is facing up to 8 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to criminal charges and apologized to his political donors.
I allowed ambition to cloud my judgment, leading me to make decisions that were unethical.
The former Republican lawmaker admitted to using campaign contributions for personal expenses and lying to Congress. A jury in Texas has decided the parents of a former student who was 17 when he killed eight classmates and two teachers at his high school in Santa Fe in 2018 are not financially liable for his actions. CBS's Janet Chamlian.
The parents had testified during this trial they didn't see any warning signs in advance and that they, in fact, had locked up their firearms.
S&P futures are up 5, Dow futures down 4. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The four men accused of killing Devante Mitchell outside a Milwaukee hotel will stand trial for murder. According to the criminal complaint, two security guards, a bellhop, and a front desk worker pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. They're each charged with being party to a felony murder and could face up to 15 years and 9 months in prison. In a hearing Monday, all four were bound over for trial. They're expected to enter pleas on Thursday. And Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz are headed to Wisconsin Tuesday. They'll host a rally at Fiserv Forum. These rallies have become big, energetic events, so you can expect a lot of people in the Deer District area. Walz at the Democratic National Convention Monday.
Just came from the Wisconsin breakfast, and the blue wall is solid, people. The blue wall is solid.
Civic Media will have special coverage all week from Chicago. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pack gets ready for the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice this Thursday. They'll host the Baltimore Ravens in a joint practice open to the public. Linebacker Christian Welch from Miola, Wisconsin, is having a good camp. Last week against the Browns, he recovered a fumble. This week against the Broncos, he intercepted a Jared Stidman pass tipped by Packers defensive lineman James Esther. Welch on what he saw on the play.
Yeah, I just kind of had my eyes on the quarterback at the time, and one of the D linemen, I'm not even sure who it was, tipped it. I just saw it go straight up. I'm like, I got to to go try to high point that. So I just went up and grabbed it and come down with it and took a hit on the way down. So I was pretty happy. Yeah, we needed that at that point in the game too.
Baseball tonight, Brewers in St. Louis to open a three-game set against the Cardinals. In golf, round one of the 104th Wisconsin State Open is underway at the Minocqua, Wisconsin Country Club. Ross Thompson atop the leaderboard. He's an assistant golf coach at UW-Madison. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by late this afternoon. Our high today in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, plenty of sunshine. Highs in the upper 70s. Same for Thursday, sunny in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're live on location for the Democratic National Convention here at the United Center in Chicago. Great guest, Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from Chicago and the Democratic National Convention, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
All right, thank you, Don Rue, and welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning, August 20th. Day two of the Democratic National Convention from here in Chicago. Greg Bach is back in Waukesha, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is with us as well. And Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. I'm a little intrigued, though, about the side conversation that I was catching right before we came out here. And it was apparently movie night with Greg and the puppy.
Oh, yeah.
And felt the need to update you on... Was it Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah. First of all, this is my dog, Maybell.
Oh, look at that photo. My goodness.
She is very photogenic. You'll be like, Maybell. She'll be like, yes. Which camera am I looking at? But we were watching Lady and the Tramp last night, and she was, I don't have a good picture. It doesn't matter. She was kind of losing her mind with all the dogs. Like, she was like jumping up on the fireplace, like, what's going on here? And barking. We're just like, oh my God.
Had Maybell not been exposed to dogs on TV before?
I mean, yeah, if I'll leave her in the crate for a long period of time while I'm at work and she's relaxing and it's all above board, people, don't get mad at me. I'll actually turn on, there's these YouTube videos of like 10 hours of relaxing music for dogs, and it's showing dogs on the screen. And she never has a problem with it. But then again, they're also not barking, and they're also not talking dogs either. So,
see, that's the thing. That's where she's like, wait a minute. Where do I get these lessons? I want to speak English.
Trust me. Right? I wish she would sometimes.
Rob wishes us a good morning from Tigerton, saying it is sunny and 48 degrees, a busy day of mowing in Wittenberg today. I had a fun trip to Wausau, ate at Rocky Rococo's off of Rib Mountain Drive. I would love to take you to pizza there. Happy National Radio Personality Days to my favorite radio personalities at Civic Media. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Drink water.
And like, who are we kidding? He's talking about Brittany. She's the fave. She brings us really nice weather forecasts, don't
Especially
you?
No, week.
No pressure there, Brittany. Did you bring us a nice weather forecast?
Oh, yeah. This week I've got you. Definitely got you this week. No bad news out there.
Good.
Yes. Okay. Here. There is a little bit of a bad news. We'll start with that so we can end with the good stuff. The bad news is the allergies are going to be high. Ragweed is off the charts throughout the entire state today, so keep that in mind. But otherwise, high pressure system has built in. It has calmed our winds down, and it's also cleared our skies, right? So we're going to be bright and beautiful all day today. Barely a cloud in the sky, and high temperatures will be cooler. We're actually going to reach highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. The further east that you live in the state and the further west that you live, you're going to be closer to the mid 70s. So this is, of course, below average. Nice, dry, comfortable air mass here. But if you're by Lake Michigan, keep in mind that there is still a beach hazard statement in effect until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Those waves are about 3 to 5 feet high, and they had water rescues yesterday. I think it was 5 people that were rescued from Lake Michigan. So not only the waves, but the rip currents. Just keep away from the lake for today.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I mean, that is nothing to mess around with.
No, powerful, and it could change in minutes, too. Right. So don't use it as a swimming pool. Not a
heed the warnings, always. Brittany Merlot, thank you so much. Have a great start to your day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, the Up North News Daily newsletter comes out early every morning. Christina Laurie puts that together for us. And today, it includes my story on taxing tips and a little bit of a history lesson and a reminder about perspective. Donald Trump has talked about lifting taxation on tips, something that was started in the Ronald Reagan administration, by the way. Kamala Harris has also talked about eliminating or reducing or reforming taxes on tips. Donald Trump said, oh, well, she's just copying me. No. The details are going to be widely different depending on who wins. In one case, you would see actual relief to the women and men who work in the service and hospitality industries. And in the other case, you would probably see a whole lot of hedge fund managers get paid $1 in salary and then a lot of it coming in tips, 7 figures worth of tips. So again, look for the details of what they're promising. You'll find out more in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday. They are in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals for a 3-game set starting at 7:10 this evening. The pregame is at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, in Racine Kenosha, in Park Falls, and in Oshkosh. The Brewers have managed to overcome all sorts of injuries and adversity. The AP had a story on it today saying this was expected to be the season the Brewers finally took a step back after making 5 playoff appearances over the last 6 years, but that hasn't happened. Even after losing Craig Counsell, even after losing Corbin Burns, Milwaukee has the largest lead in the major leagues right now of all the division leaders, an 11-game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals after winning 5 straight. They will be in St. Louis, as mentioned earlier. They currently have a 6-1 series record against the Cardinals. Not a typical year for baseball. The Cardinals are as bad as they've been in a very, very long time. The Brewers continue to impress and amaze and surprise. And so we'll see how that all plays out for them coming up in a series that starts tonight. Let me get away from the political convention talk just long enough to make mention of the passing of a talk show legend. And that, of course, would be Phil Donahue, who passed away at the age of 88 years old yesterday. He was it. He was it for the 70s and 80s for talk shows between before Oprah Winfrey came along in the mid-1980s. And I'm not going to say that he was a direct inspiration, but how could you not appreciate and want to emulate some of the example that he set for his points of view, his candor, his ability to ask an hour's worth of questions and make them all interesting, make you want to hear what the guest had to say. And then there was the running around with the microphone, bringing the audience in. I mean, for Greg and I mean, if we're going to bring people in, they're going to call 855-75-CIVIC, and we're going to check out what they want to say, and we're going to put them on the radio. For a TV show, you have to go running all around the studio audience with a thank God for wireless.
And that man's cardio game was on point.
Yes, and getting people in, and I don't even know that I can remember. We end up screening callers quite a bit. Yeah. Because some folks are just it's weird.
They're precious moments.
Just look at Twitter as an example. But it was a simpler time back then, and I don't recall any instances where Phil Donahue was like, "No, you need to leave. You know, that was just a stupid question," or you know, he'd disagree with them, but did it in a very nice way, nice but direct. And I mean, that was the guy that, you know, you wanted daytime talk to be. It was fun to look back at the clip where he had actress Marlo Thomas on and watch them just immediately. You could tell they were both just falling for each other, and they ended up being married for over 40 years.
I love that.
It was wonderfully romantic. And look, Phil Donahue also, much like Johnny Carson, when you understood that, you know, the string had run out and things had run their course. When he stepped back, he didn't really step back in at all. He said, look, I've done this. The grind of a talk show is really something. It takes a toll. When you're done, you want to be done. And he was. He went and had a very enjoyable retirement.
And he retired. That show lasted until what, like the early 90s?
Yes.
Maybe. Yep. I mean, you think about that. He's been pretty much out of the spotlight for 30 years.
30 years, right.
And yeah, he had a way of asking tough questions, making the person feel safe while answering them, but then also calling them out when he felt like they were giving a not so great answer either. And it's just, yeah.
See, and that's the thing. He had plenty of guests in there that he disagreed with vehemently, mm-hmm. but he put them on camera. He put them on stage and then would ask questions in a way that were not necessarily meant to tear them down or embarrass them, but challenge them.
Yeah.
And when it was all said and done, what you noticed was a lot of respect, mm-hmm. that a guy like Phil Donahue could do that, could essentially hold up a mirror, and he doesn't have to call somebody, you know, an ugly Nazi or something. Yeah. You just know by the end of the show, you're like, this guy's an ugly Nazi.
Yeah.
And he was given a fair forum by Phil Donahue and proved that he was, you know, nothing but, or whatever the case may be, given some of the guests. Now, he did have, you know, it was TV. TV is profit driven. And there were definitely times, you know, where the topics were offbeat, or some would say sensational. And the thing that I think that most folks and people are going to be all mad at me that they think I'm taking shots at Oprah here. Oprah has done a lot of amazing things with her career, but I feel like people have kind of lost track that the way Oprah Winfrey caught up with and overtook Phil Donahue was she went for some of those, shall we say, splashier, trashier, more tawdry topics more likely and more frequently. And it's what, you know, what brought eyeballs over. But Oprah over time, you know, really kind of, how do you want to say, refined, understood that she had a voice, mm-hmm. to help women feel empowered, that she became much more of an advocate for her audience, rather than somebody that was chasing ratings, you know.
When she realized her popularity, she said, I'm going to put the people who need to be, people on camera who need to be on camera, the books, the music, I mean, we didn't call them influencers back then, but like the people who are really influencing tastes, as well as, you know, social justice advocates went from sensationalism to really having a voice. And that was really, like, I think what Donahue did. He wanted to put the best people on TV to get information out there and to inform the public. That's what your job is.
Yeah, and he took that very seriously, and again, will be missed, but you know, deservedly saluted for a wonderful, groundbreaking career in broadcast TV. A little later on this hour, we're going to play back plenty of audio from the Democratic National Convention, especially some of the women who had very important and key remarks. But coming up next, we'll play an excerpt from President Joe Biden from his remarks last night. That's after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Our southern border is in chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl.
Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Robert Plant has a birthday today, 76, I believe, for the legend of song. As we're live from Chicago here on Up North News Radio, I've been looking for clips to play from the Democratic convention, I just have to say, and I know it's been said a lot, but what Elon Musk has done to Twitter, that he now calls X, I mean, calling it a dumpster fire is an insult to dumpster fires. that used to be such a source for people that were putting up, you know, little short newsy clips of things so that they can comment on them. And if you were to search for any of, you know, the speakers yesterday, Jill Biden, Ashley Biden, AOC, the stuff that comes up now in your feed is so overwhelmingly garbage. And you want to be so hopeful in humanity that a lot of these are just bots and trolls and things like that, and that these aren't actual human beings putting up these things that either show that they are this vile or this angry or this gullible when they're posting things that are, you know, have been proven not to be true, but they don't want them to be untrue. You're hoping that they're not. Yeah. But I digress.
And that right there is Pat's take on X, formerly Twitter.
Oh my God.
I don't disagree.
It's just so bad. And it's too bad because and it's at its best, it served as you know, the old teletype machines in newsrooms. It was just a constant ticker of useful information.
Yeah.
And now it's just nothing like that. Did you see the last clip I sent, which is an excerpt from President Biden last night?
I got all of them lined up, ready to go.
I did manage to find that one. So we'll do President Biden in this segment, and then we've got 4 different women who spoke during the convention last night, and we'll do them coming up next time around. But for President Biden, of course, you know, this was a bittersweet moment, rather melancholy for him, somebody who expected to be accepting the nomination to run again. And I wouldn't blame him at all for feeling a little bit pushed out. And yet at the same time, he's the guy that picked Kamala Harris. And so as a result of that, he has the confidence of knowing that he's doing something that, you know what, we don't see in a lot of workplaces. The term they use is succession planning, where you basically accept that, look, you're not the only person that can do this. And when you're done, is there going to be some continuity in the job? Do you have a good person that you're training to come up behind you? And I'm not saying Kamala Harris needs training, but somebody that is capable of doing the job, as opposed to, say, you know, when Donald Trump first walked into the White House and, you know, started throwing ketchup at the walls. So in President Biden's remarks, you heard somebody that, again, wanted to make the case of his accomplishments in office. And of course, they were numerous. But he also wanted to make the case that if he is going to step aside, if he's going to put country before personal ambition and party, that he's handing off to somebody who has earned the trust of Americans. Here's a little bit of the excerpt of President Biden's speech at the Democratic National Convention last night.
Folks, I've got 5 months left in my presidency. I've got a lot to do. I intend to get it done. presidency. It's been the honor of my lifetime to serve as your president. I love the job, but I love my country more. I love my country more. And all this talk about how I'm angry at all those people who said I should step down, that's not true. I love my country more, and we need to preserve our democracy. In 2024, we need you to vote. We need you to keep the Senate. We need you to win back the House of Representatives. And above all, we need you to beat Donald Trump. And elect Kamala and Tim.
President. So again, he understands that there are real threats to democracy in Donald Trump. And it's not a case of, you know, people would say, oh, well, you know, tell us what you're for, not against. I say that all the time. Mm-hmm. He's made that very clear what he's for. He laid that out well in advance of saying, oh, and by the way, you know, Donald Trump remains a threat to democracy in this country. So it was rather well-rounded that way. But again, Greg, like I said last hour, it was so late.
Yeah.
It was so painfully late.
It was 11. Like you're seeing the thing on here, the time is it was 11 o'clock when he was talking.
Yes. You know, so, I mean, it's midnight out east, you know, yeah. Although I have to admit that of some of the social posts, I loved seeing some of Biden's either supporters or just other pundits ripping into people who were saying, it's too late. It's too late. Like, wait, aren't you guys the same people that were making jokes about Joe Biden's bedtime?
Yeah.
And now you're the snowflakes who don't want to stay up so yeah. late to hear a speech. You know, maybe you should think twice, you know, before you make comments like that. But it was long, but it was good. And we'll, like I said, play several clips from some of the women who spoke coming up. And then tonight will be former President Barack Obama, former First Lady Michelle Obama, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker will be talking as well. Second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. Second gentleman,
one of the
greatest job titles ever created, you know, yeah. that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to call this guy?
We call him the first Doug, Pat. That's what we call him.
The first Doug. That would totally work for me. So we'll hear that, of course. And then Wednesday, we get the remarks from Tim Walz and also from former President Bill Clinton. And then finally on Thursday, we get the acceptance speech from Kamala Harris. Now, there were some demonstrations here in Chicago yesterday. There is... shall we say a robust police presence all over the city. but also because, you know, there were plenty of demonstrators out there primarily on the topic of Gaza, but I've got to say not even for a moment did anybody have any reason to, you know, not feel safe here. This is a city that is so used to tourists, is so used to conventions, and definitely has the apparatus to handle these kinds of things in a city, by the way, where, you know, the other 90% of folks are just trying to get to work.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, great. You're here. Democracy is great. I got to work. I got to get to work. All right. Move. Yes.
I got to get on the
pizza.
Bus. Yeah. You know, but also all kinds of retail, shopping and eating here. I was so proud of myself when my train got to Union Station, and as I was going through, I took a little video that I'm put up later, sarcasm intentional, going, I found it. I found the Chicago pizza that everybody's talking about Chicago pizza. And I just know when I put that video up of a Sbarro, some people are not going to get, they're not going to get the joke. And I just feel bad.
Because you're a comedic genius, Pat.
I wouldn't say that. Michael Scott said the Sbarro joke better than any of us about New York pizza. I'm just merely following in his footsteps. More from the convention after this. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From corner to corner in our state, many small communities still struggle to try to provide broadband internet access to its citizens. But why? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. It's not been lack of access to federal funds to try to get these projects going. Brittany Beyer is an extension specialist in economic development. She just joined the governor's task force on broadband access. That was started back in 2020. She says Wisconsin has just gotten a stamp of approval from the federal government on its five-year broadband expansion plan. That means the state could get $1.1 billion to bring high-speed internet access to all of its residents. It's called the BEAD program. But she said there's still challenges.
A lot of the providers need to make sure the business case is sound for them to build out their infrastructures in rural communities. So where there's less density in population, that bargain is harder for them to manage. That's still going to be the case for in perpetuity. And so that's a major piece that a lot of communities have to think through.
Brittany Beyer, she is one of the members of the governor's task force on broadband access. She said when internet access is provided, communities see a response. She said they've generally seen housing go up by 10%. Educational opportunities for students become more level with those in urban areas. And she also says some of the largest employers in rural Wisconsin are schools, which need that internet access.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Zatavo soybean seed, you get a big one, 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed.
And this week's Crop Progress Report shows Wisconsin farmers have pretty much wrapped up their winter wheat harvest, and now they're looking at the corn. 62% of our corn crops rated good to excellent this week, and 62% of our soybeans also called good to excellent. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Tuesday. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by late this afternoon. Our high today in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy in the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, plenty of sunshine. Highs in the upper 70s. Same for Thursday, sunny in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of the Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 10:33 from the DNC. Hour number two, Dr. Kristen Lierley, now an official candidate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Let's go, girls.
Come on.
We're going to talk about some of the women who addressed the Democratic National Convention on that first night, Monday night here in Chicago. Before we do, a couple of other little housekeeping notes, starting with somebody on the text line talking about our discussion on Phil Donahue and his impact that went, you know, beyond just a daily TV show, Greg.
Yeah, Scott from Shorewood, listening to WAUK, texted and he said, "Don't forget about Phil's advocacy for AIDS awareness." And that, yeah, that was very important because when he was doing that, that was in the height of the epidemic in a country where the president wouldn't even say the word AIDS. So the fact that he used his platform to bring education and light to this subject matter, it's very important. And thank you, Scott, for reminding us. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, we appreciate that very much. Also wanted to mention our daily newsletter from Up North News is out, and including we talked earlier about taxing tips and the difference between what Kamala Harris would do versus what Donald Trump would do on the idea of changing how tips are taxed. There's also a story there. If you are already missing the Wisconsin State Fair, there are some state fair foods that you can actually order year round. And you can learn about that and more in our daily newsletter. You sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, as mentioned, before President Biden delivered the final address last night, there were plenty of other speakers, and I wanted to focus on some of the women who are especially inspirational when it came to highlighting issues, when it came to highlighting, you know, things about what Joe Biden has accomplished along with Kamala Harris. And one of the early speakers was Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who talked about the issue of healthcare and pointed toward her own career prior to serving in the legislature and now as Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, and the important actions that the Biden and Harris administration have taken and the things that need to continue happening to ensure that people in Wisconsin and across the country have good healthcare.
Before I took office, I was a registered nurse. I served in the Peace Corps at the height of HIV/AIDS and in Baltimore emergency rooms at the height of the heroin and gun violence epidemics. During the COVID pandemic, Trump and Wisconsin Republicans failed to protect our health. That's why I ran for office and flipped a red district blue. Because once a nurse, always a nurse. Now Trump is promising to terminate the Affordable Care Act, meddling in personal decisions between a woman and her doctor, and threatening to slash Medicare. Vice President Harris fights for our health. She'll defend women's reproductive freedom and protect Medicare and Medicaid. Thanks to the Biden-Harris administration, insulin is capped at $35 a month for seniors. And they negotiated down the prices of 10 more life-saving drugs like Eliquis and Jardiance for Americans on Medicare. Kamala will continue to take on Big Pharma and lower the cost of prescriptions for everyone.
These are real kitchen table issues that the Lieutenant Governor is talking about, the things that matter to people's lives. And while there are some people that will center more on the politics of grievances, I think a lot of folks are thinking more about, wait, what are you doing to make life a little easier for my healthcare, for my job, for things like that? That's what you heard from Sarah Rodriguez and what you'll continue to hear throughout the convention. It's about taking care of folks who are just going to work and coming home and taking care of their families. And you certainly got a sense of who is an advocate for working men and women in this country in the speech later in the evening by New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who noted that sometimes, you know, people, Republicans and critics, you know, taunt her saying she should go back to being a bartender. And she makes clear she would have no problem doing that because she's not afraid of hard work. But she's also looking for people who in public office are looking out for the people who put in a hard day's work.
Because we know that Donald Trump would sell this country for a dollar if it meant lining his own pockets and greasing the palms of his Wall Street friends. And I, for one, am tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed, trampling on our way of life. The truth is, Don, you cannot love this country if you only fight for the wealthy and big business. To love this country is to fight for its people.
Especially its working people and its most vulnerable people and the working class. And again, that's not something that Donald Trump or J.D. Vance are targeting. And they won't be talking about that in their remarks today. J.D. Vance in Kenosha and Donald Trump going to Michigan today with the theme of what they call safety and security. So again, we'll see more of the politics of division. Contrast that with what you're going to hear from Kamala Harris and Tim Walz at Fiserv Forum later today when they hold their rally and talk again about bringing, you know, a sense of joy back to politics, bringing a real pride in America back to politics. There's going to be a real difference in what they're all saying today that we're going to be talking about on the program tomorrow. There were two valedictories of sorts. There was President Biden's, of course, but in another time, in another place, this might have been the winding down of Hillary Clinton's second term in office. And instead, in delivering her remarks to the convention, she very graciously noted that she fell a little short in where she wanted to go, but that she understands that she and all the people that supported her have made a difference and will continue building on that difference between now and November.
On her first day in court, Kamala said five words that still guide her. Kamala Harris, for the people. That is something that Donald Trump will never understand. So it is no surprise, is it, that he is lying about Kamala's record? He's mocking her name and her laugh. Sounds familiar. But we have him on the run now. No matter what the polls say, we can't let up.
Tim Walz's wife, Gwen, had such a look. Well, a lot of people in the audience had such a look watching the former Secretary of State, the former First Lady, the former Senator from New York deliver her remarks. And again, the thought about what could have been had things gone just a little bit differently in 2016. But much like for Joe Biden, there was such a deep sense of gratitude throughout the United Center during the proceedings yesterday. And then finally, I wanted to play remarks from First Lady Jill Biden. They've been together for right around 50 years now, and they're still such a mutual admiration society. They're the president of each other's fan club. You can't say that about every marriage, especially every public marriage, but you definitely see it in the Biden family, as First Lady Jill Biden illustrated last night.
Joe and I have been together for almost 50 years. And still, there are moments when I fall in love with him all over again. Like when I handed him our baby Ashley for the first time and saw the smile that lit up his face. Or on nights after an exhausting day in working in the Senate, when he would read one more bedtime story just because the kids asked. when he stops on a rope line because he sees someone grieving who needs to know that everything is going to be all right one day. Or to encourage that child with a stutter to find the confidence she needs. Those moments when I'm reminded of all he's accomplished in the name of something bigger than himself. Receiving the Medal of Freedom with humility. Placing his hand on our family Bible to take his oath of office. And weeks ago, when I saw him dig deep into his soul and decide to no longer seek re-election and endorse Kamala Harris.
Just a team player all around is, you know, the impression that Jill Biden wanted to give there. I don't have an Ashley Biden clip ready, their daughter, but she told this great story about how Joe Biden, then a senator from Delaware, and Ashley was eight, and it was her birthday, and the Senate was in session. There was something very important going on, and so, you know, Daddy wouldn't be able to come home for the birthday party. And then later in the day, Jill Biden, you know, got her daughter's jacket and said, "Here, put your jacket on. We're going someplace." They went to the train station. Joe Biden got off one train. They lit some candles on a cake that Jill had brought. They sang happy birthday. There was some hugs, some kisses, some small talk. And then he had to cross over to the other tracks for the train that was heading back to Washington, D.C. The man took enough time out of the day to make sure that he could get home and wish happy birthday to his 8-year-old daughter. That's the measure of the man that Jill and Ashley tried to talk about yesterday.
Yeah, we can talk about politicians and, you know, all the, but I've said before, I'll say it again, regardless of all the things, I always feel like Joe Biden has had a love for people, for his country, and for American citizens. And he has made decisions I disagree with in the past, mm-hmm. but he's a person who loves this country deeply and works to serve it. And when he says he loves the office, I believe it. I believe he loves being president, but not for the powerful reasons, but because he can affect change. And he has, and there's no doubt, period.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Colin Jost said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He said that his father, I think it was, just pointed out he's just a good man.
Yeah.
And Lord knows we don't have enough of that. And I'll close by mentioning that I'll be putting up a story on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, a little later today that I was working on last night about labor leaders. The heads of six unions also spoke last night at the Democratic National Convention to list the many ways that the Biden-Harris team has had workers' backs and how Trump has been hostile to workers' rights and prosperity. There was Liz Shuler from she's the president of the AFL-CIO, 13 million U.S. workers. And she said, "This election is about two economic visions. Trump's is a CEO's dream, but a worker's nightmare. Whereas Biden and Harris have a vision of an opportunity economy where you work to lower the cost of groceries and prescriptions and housing." Now, you had Sean Fain of the United Auto Workers Union talking about corporate greed, which is a source of inflation. It hurts workers. It hurts consumers. And noted that Trump has been seeking to divide frustrated workers by trying to blame minorities and the LGBTQ community and immigrants and anyone else that will distract from corporate price gouging and wage theft that goes on. The leader of AFSCME, Lee Saunders, said 4 years ago, "We faced a pandemic and a recession with a president who didn't care one bit about what working people were going through. But the things improved quickly once Biden and Harris took over and helped pass the American Rescue Plan. There was plenty of talk from the laborers and the communication workers about infrastructure and from SEIU about the care economy that's growing out there. So working men and women, especially those in organized labor, understand who's been working and looking out for them and who would again in the next 4 years." Chad Holmes is next. You're up north. Oh, get in the action.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Well, that would be Chad Holmes' music, and that's normally where Chad Holmes would then come into play, and then I start wondering to myself, okay, is Chad running a little late, or did I not send the proper link to him? And I don't have time to look it up, so I'm going to stand on this one and say, I did it. I did my part. I did. Chad fell asleep. That's my accusation right there. Chad stayed up for the whole thing and then drifted off. Or he's sitting in his Wausau studio right now going, hey, Kreitlow, where's the link? I can't knock on the door without you. So we'll see. We'll see how that works.
Oh, look what I got here. It's a message from Chad Holmes saying, Greg, I don't have the link.
Jeez.
The mystery is solved. Patrick was inside the house the whole time.
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, okay, President Trump. What? I'm sorry. What?
All right, I hear him knocking on the door. Let me let him in. Because I got the same note from Terry Bell the other day. I sent the link so early. I sent it on Friday.
Now that I recall, I do recall seeing something back.
Let me go back.
Oh, yeah.
The witnesses excused.
There it is.
That is as much an indictment of me as it is of you. that people are surprised that I got my work done early.
No. It's my fault for running around and got to get in
this
here.
This is the most Midwestern confrontation ever. Oh, yeah, yeah, that was my fault. Nope, I got it. No, oh, it's fine. I was doing something. Let me just sneak past you. Oh.
You couldn't be more correct on that. Mr. Holmes, did you stay up for all of it?
I did.
Oh,
it was. It was a really good first night generally. And the thing that, obviously, I thought the president did a wonderful job. I thought, again, he showed it. He's a big man. I mean, he teed it up very nicely for the rest of the week for the vice president and Tim Walz. And I also, something that was mentioned by one of the commentators, I was watching PBS, and the thing that was very different between this convention so far and what we saw in Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago is that the folks who came up were not afraid to say, hey, Democrats, we're proud to be Democrats.
Yes.
The Republican Party doesn't even mention, hey, Republicans. No, it's the Trump Party. And there's something I think that in the tradition of the American system here, I think that's rather significant.
I will tell you that this actually goes back to 1988. And I have never truly forgiven Michael Dukakis for the way that he ran his campaign, that when George H.W. Bush, I mean, all you heard throughout the entire campaign was Dukakis is a liberal. He's a liberal this and a liberal that. And at no point was there this forceful defense of, you're damn right I'm a liberal, and here's why. It was the, the tack toward the center, what the consultants all tell you to do. And part of the reason you hear the word progressive so often, you didn't when we were younger. People were looking for something to say other than the word liberal. And now you have Democrats who are saying,
They're actually putting Democrat on their yard signs now. You know, they're saying the Democratic Party in their remarks when they're talking to people. And by the way, the other thing they're saying is they're the ones putting the flag on some of their material and talking about the pride that they take in being American, because I think they see in, well, they see in Donald Trump nothing but this doom and gloom. America's heading toward another depression. America is heading toward World War III. He said both of those things, you know, over the weekend as well. And the rest of us are looking around going, actually, we're in a pretty good spot here when you put good people in good offices.
And also, and again, I think you hit on the head, you need to talk about the differentiation within issues and to show that we are not all on the same hymn sheet. If you listen to our radio stations during the course of the day, yesterday I was at my desk and during Todd's show, he had Trygve Olsen on. And Trygve, again, I respect him greatly, but at the same time, I was getting a little annoyed because he was talking about how he was so impressed with Tim Walz when he talked to the high school football team the other day because he wasn't talking about issues. Well, that was a different situation, and that the idea that Democrats really need to stop getting bogged down on issues all the time and talk more along the line of telling this narrative, I thought, I mean, come on, this is too important. We need to talk about issues. I understand the idea of having a good narrative and being able to connect with people, but I mean, when you talk about the idea of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party or the Democratic Party and the Trump Party, there are a lot of issues that frankly don't get talked about enough. And I think that's probably one of the frustrations for President Biden is, again, he mentioned it last night that, you know, in the first 2 years, very, very narrow majorities in both houses, and yet they got something done. And there is a record. And I do think that the Democratic Party needs to talk about I think you used the term kitchen table issues earlier, yeah, in the program. I don't understand how Republicans get away with the fact that they push back against the insulin cap. They push back against junk fees. They push back against airlines being able to add all these secret charges when you go through checkout. They say, no, those are bad things. The president has done so many, I hate to use the term little things, but they are in terms of, you know, a few dollars here, a few dollars there that we do need to talk about. And I hope that gets reported on more, but it just hasn't. And then the fact that they say, oh, that's not important. Well, it is important for people who count every dollar when they go on a vacation, when they go to the airport and things like that. So, no, I was very happy to see the president take the time to go over the accomplishments, the things that he was able to get done with the help of a Democratic Congress those first 2 years last night.
Yeah. No, those little things, you know, do matter, because otherwise folks feel like they've been looked over, you know, or overlooked. They feel like they're in flyover land, that you've got, in the case of Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature and in Congress, the main thing they want to do is lower taxes in that top income tax bracket. You know, a massive amount of people there, rather than doing the things that make life a little easier for the rest of us, you know, in the middle class.
Yes. And really, what in the Republican platform or what Trump has been talking about is directly towards the economic well-being of the middle class? It's all about social. It's all about grievance. They don't have specifics on how to make the middle class more successful. The numbers are there, what Joe Biden's been able to do in terms of take-home pay. And he's so right to be able to say, I am one of the best presidents for unions, because unions do build this country. So, again, I do think issues, along with everything else, need to be at the forefront of this campaign.
Absolutely. Chad Holmes will pick up the conversation on Bull Falls Radio. You can listen in the Wausau area or anywhere else across the Civic Media Radio Network through the Civic Media app. Thank you, Chad. Have a great day.
You too, guys.
All right. Greg, back for Matt and Air on Air. Two little hours from now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for everybody with their patience as we carry on, as we get going and have a busy week here in Chicago. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning from Chicago.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
The next Nightlight is only available on Facebook, X, and YouTube. I discuss America's favorite movie snack with popcorn guru Chris Anderson. And award-winning director Justin Superstar joins me to talk about his new film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.